back. Listen, it was a 1 week hiatus. Mm-hmm. We needed it. A lot of circumstances and situations arose, but we gonna give y'all all the things y'all need on this particular day. It is Monday. It's 5:24 p.m. And we finna get the people what they want, because we always do. All right, welcome to the pod. This is Swaggoo and Perk. We going to go to class.
You already know. You already know. It's been too long.
Perk, we're going to dive right in, man, because it's a lot going on in the sports world. It's a lot going on in pop culture. It's a lot going on. And obviously, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And based on how we look, we know we're going to eat good. So, listen, man, I got to get to you. This is why I love sitting with you on a weekly basis, because when stuff go down in the NBA, the first person I think about is my little big homie, Kendrick Perkins. I'm going to just tee you up like this, bro. LeBron, Isaiah Stewart, it looked like it was about to go down like when we used to be in the club in college. Tell me what happened. Tell me what should happen. Give me all the things, Bron and Isaiah Stewart, man. I'm going to sit back and let you have the floor, brother.
Well, I'm going to say this. Let me say this. It feels good to be back, okay? That's one thing. That's number one. It feels damn good to be back. Second of all, it feels good to finally have some type of physicality, altercations back in the NBA. It feels good to have that. Look, I know the NBA. I know Adam Silver is not feeling that at times. And you know, things escalated last night. But look, you love the competitiveness, because listen, right after that happened, the game got good. And viewership on the league pass went up. Russell Westbrook took off. Anthony Davis took off. They went willed themselves to victory. And I honestly believe, before I get into the incident, that the Lakers needed that. They needed that type of adversity to come together. Now they say, you know what? Man, I see guys got my back. We saw Russ squaring it off in that Cali style. he was Cali with it. That elbow and everything was kind of cocked up a little high, right? So, I'm watching all that. I'm like, okay, cool. They could come together. I didn't care if it was the Pistons, but the incident. First off, let's stop with LeBron did it on purpose and all that. No, they were tangled up. And the person who actually instigated it was Isaiah Stewart. I mean, just think about it. You know this from hooping. When you're in the middle and it's a free throw line situation and you're in the middle, you're supposed to tangle with the guy on the lower block.
On the lower block, no doubt.
Why are you even entertaining LeBron James and putting the arm in his face? Okay, you get caught with an elbow. It happens. If you're going to be a guy that's going to be physical out there, Isaiah Stewart, and you're going to be initiating a lot of this contact, you got to be willing to receive some of this contact. It's part of it. So, you get caught with a little elbow, and you and Bron have a stare-off, okay? We all know nobody go bust a grape in a fruit fight. Ain't going to poke milk on cereal, and ain't going to listen to it go snap, crackle, or pop, all right? We already know that. We know that off the muscle. But I will say this. He got mad because he saw blood. Once you see blood and you taste blood, then it amps you to another level. I don't want no problems with Isaiah Stewart. I seen it in
me neither. Space. Me neither.
It in his face. Me neither. The man got bangs popping out his ears. I don't want no smoke. Now, if I had to, I would. I'm just not looking for him. Okay. That's another thing. But I just feel like maybe if Isaiah Stewart, you know what I mean? Because, you know, he ran over some coaches and he caused a big scene, you know, after the fact, after they thought they had broken the situation up. He probably should get like a 2 or 3 game suspension, nothing more. I don't think LeBron James should get suspended. I honestly think he should just get like a fine and move on, because he didn't do it on purpose. So since he didn't do it on purpose, you know, and they just got tangled up and he just got caught with the elbow, because you could see in the video, LeBron actually tried to apologize when he saw he actually hit him. He wasn't trying to, you know what I mean? So, you know, LeBron is doing all the right things. Because, see, you got to do the right things, right? Once you have an incident like that, you got to do the right thing, Swaggoo.
Oh, whoa, player.
That on top of saying the right things and doing the right things afterwards in the back, because that's going to determine the decision or the consequences that the league is going to have on you. A guy that's been fined over $200,000, a guy that's been suspended, I know you got to make sure you have some type of remorse and say, I didn't mean that. But then, you know, with me, I actually meant that. I just had to say that so I wouldn't get those type of consequences. You know what I mean? So I think people overreacting. You know what I mean? Like, I think Isaiah Stewart, probably a 2 or 3 game suspension because of him running over coaches and doing all that. But other than that, we got to move on, man. That wasn't nothing but a little, you know what I'm saying? A little gimme grab and, you know, ain't do nothing.
I think this is about to be our first fight. I think we're going to have to mark this day in history that this is going to be our first fight, Perk. Because, listen, first of all, we're going to tell everybody on this podcast, we are LeBron James apologists. That's what we are. We always going to be that. We got mad love for the LBJ, the king. So we going to show love to LBJ. But Perk, on this one, man, listen, man, I can't not mean to shoot you, but I shot you. You got to pay consequences for that. Like, that's where I'm at with it. Listen, LeBron is trying to get away, and I get it, bro. I understand you know me. We hooped. We played a physical game. You know me. But I think the message you send, if you don't suspend him or you don't fine him like a big-time fee, is that, well, we can accidentally do this and bust somebody eye wide open. Like, so I'm with you. I don't think it was intentional. I don't think LeBron had no malicious nature to hitting Isaiah Stewart in the eye. But what I will say, Perk, dang, I feel like the police right now.
I feel like the police. But we're not. We're the police in the situation. So keep preaching.
I know, man. So when I get it, what you're saying, but I still can't get the image out of my eyes that the man got to have stitches, all right? And he bleeding from everywhere in his face. Perk, the man's face was bleeding. Don't even say above his eye. His whole face was bleeding. He had blood in his mouth. Yeah, it looked like the man had walked in the middle of a pack of damn lions, man, and he got mangled, and he was just trying to find his way out of there. So I get it. I agree with you on the reaction, man, because I know, you know, our big homie Steven Jackson, obviously the malice in the palace, he don't like to talk about it, so we're going to keep it short and brief, okay? Yeah. My cousin, your big homie. I know for sure that the NBA was like, no, please, God, not another. Not another one, not this situation here. Once again, LeBron should get a game, Bert. And the only reason I say he should get a game is because you know this. Dudes in the NBA are going to take this to another level. Bam! I ain't mean it. I ain't mean to do it. It was an accident. Bam! I ain't mean it. It was an accident. So I understand incidental contact. I understand it being a situation where they tangled up and getting off. But Perk, if you don't send that message, man, it's going to get bad, bro. It's going to get bad. I like the physicality. I love that the NBA is letting that come back. But this particular situation, I feel like if you don't do nothing, the real crazy ones going to use it.
Yeah, you know what? I can't disagree with you on that. And I'm okay. If the NBA say, you know what, we're going to fine LeBron James for one game, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world outside of us right now, people would love to see us going back and forth, but I actually agree with you.
Listen, man, I'm looking at that situation. I'm like, I see Isaiah Stewart's standpoint. I see where he's coming from. I see where Bron coming from. Bron thinking, I just made a basketball play. It just ended up being a bad situation. Isaiah Stewart saying, man, I just got snuffed. I'm about to throw these things. I want to throw these things and make everything right. I get both sides of it. But beyond that, bro, it was to your point, I'm glad it didn't turn into a crazy, crazy scene.
Right.
But
right.
I got to admit, Perk, being an 80s baby and growing up in the 90s watching the NBA, I did like it. Am I wrong for liking it a little bit?
Hey, what type of baby are you?
80s baby, man. 83 up in the building.
You wasn't mad because I had no, listen, no lie. I had no sense of urgency or whatever to go and watch that game last night. All of a sudden, I get an alert to my phone. LeBron James been ejected. That made me dial in. I was like, you know what? I'm not watching the Lakers in Detroit. If the Lakers don't beat them, they got a problem. I'm not turning it on. It's football Sunday. It's a lot going on. You know what I mean? So I'm not watching it. There's other things I could be watching besides the Lakers and the Pistons. But I tell you what, it made me watch it because after that, all I was hearing about was, oh, okay, Russ. So I said, oh, he must be in it. Let me turn this on. Next thing
I know, in his bag.
It's a good game.
It's a good game.
He was in his packed vacation clothes.
Speaking of beef, man, it's a whole situation going on outside of basketball, which includes LeBron James as well. Okay, this Enes Kanter situation where Enes is talking about LeBron and his impact in society, how he kowtowing to certain levels of authority, certain countries, not to be named, but everybody know what we're talking about. China, basically. That's what I'm going to say. I don't give a damn. We on our own podcast. Right. I don't understand. Perk, if you know the origin of this, where does this come from? And then secondly, I want to hear your thoughts on Kanter's energy towards LeBron James. And he made a statement about Michael Jordan. And then after I listen to you, I'm going to give my piece on it. And then we're going to move on to some happier times, man. But what's happening with Enes Kanter and LeBron and MJ?
Well, here it is, right? Enes Kanter is not really doing anything. Matter of fact, he's not doing anything wrong when it comes up for what he's standing for. What he's standing for is he's standing for a situation in China, you know, where people are losing their lives and things to that nature. Don't have to go into details, but he's standing for the right cause, okay? I'm not going to knock him for that. What he's standing for and where his heart is at is for the right thing, right? It's for the right thing. You can't do nothing but applaud what he's standing for. Now, with that being said, what he's standing for and the fight that he's fighting doesn't mean that anybody else is obligated to fight the fight the way that he's fighting it. You know what I mean?
So, saying that, man.
Yes, man. And we have that problem with dealing with in social justice or social justice every single time. And that's what caused separation because everybody wants you to fight the fight the way that they're fighting the fight. Some people don't want to do it that way. And then when you look at this situation, you have Enes Kanter. He's called out LeBron James on several occasions for not speaking up about it or even telling him at times, you know, about his leadership in the black community. And so I'm like, hold on, man. So I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to let this go by. Then I see 2 days ago, he say the same thing about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan haven't done nothing for the African-American community. All he care about is his shoe sales and this, that, and other. That pissed me off.
Yeah.
One, how in the hell are you going to tell a black man, I ain't going to even say another black man because you're not even black. How are you going to tell a black man how to indulge?
Impact his community.
Yeah, and into his community. When you didn't grow up there, you don't even know. So my thing is that you got to, Enes got to pipe it down a lot. Because right now, what he's doing is not the right thing for us trying to call other people out about other situations that he can't relate to. Now, again, I talk about and I stand with him on his stance as far as the situation in China and what he's fighting. But, brother, just because you're fighting that fight the way that you want to fight it, that's you as a grown man. Nobody else is obligated to go and fight that particular fight the way you want them to.
Yeah.
The way you want them to. You know, it's a sticky situation when it comes down to, you know, NBA players, especially people that are employed by the NBA, actually talking about situations that's dealing with China. We saw what happened when Daryl Morey spoke on something. We saw what happened with that situation. So at the end of the day, man, you have to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, as a player, you got to have all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted before you just jump out there. And then the last thing, and I'm going to give you the floor. How in the hell do you expect LeBron James and Michael Jordan to be cleaning up somebody else's home when our own home, our own house, is dirty as hell?
You like, better preach on me.
And it's like, preach. It's like this, dog. Like, we got enough problems in America, right? We so, man, look, we got such a long way to go before we even clean up our house, before we even pull out the vacuum cleaner at Fabuloso to even think about, you know what I'm saying, getting some boxes, some Clorox or some bottles of Clorox and going to China or any other country to clean up what they got going on. And it ain't got nothing to do with that saying, again, I'm going to repeat, I'm with Enes Kanter on what he's standing for. Right. But don't be calling out other people to fight the fight the way you want them to fight the fight, period.
Perk, I love what you said, bro. And let me dive into two pieces of this, and then we're going to move on. One, right, the whole idea, like I remember when all of the stuff went down with China and LeBron, and it was – see, this is what I hate about society now, man, and I love that we get into this on this podcast. The political games dilute people's real feelings. Because honestly – all of the people that was coming at LeBron about China or coming at whoever about China, they don't give a damn about China. They don't care what's happening in China. That's a way to get LeBron James. That's a way to make him that you think you gonna make him look stupid. It ain't just LeBron. It's happening in so many, like the politics of everything now is about how can we make this person look bad. I tell people this all the time on Twitter, Perk. You know how we go back and forth with people and we be talking about sports and all of that. And they be going to war. They be going to war for certain situations, certain incidents. And my response is always, bro, you don't really care about the type of energy you giving me about this topic. You don't care about it that much. Here's my thing. Because to your point, Enes Kanter obviously feels strongly about the human struggle that's going on in China. He obviously feels strongly about it. But to interlace that with your ill will towards LeBron dilutes what you're trying to do.
Come on, right? Man.
So for me, when I look at this situation as a whole between him and Enes Kanter, this becomes more about Enes Kanter not liking LeBron James as opposed to the work he's trying to get LeBron James to do.
They got history, obviously,
right? So for me, Perk, what I'm saying is, if we gonna ride together, if we gonna talk about certain things, if we gonna have disagreements and agreements about certain things, let it be about how we feel about it, and not how you think other people gonna react to me saying something about you. All right, that's number one. Number two. When you start talking about the black community, hey, bro, sit this one out, family. Sit this one out. You can go down there right now. That man got a whole school putting kids to college for free. He's doing more in this community than I can remember from a public standpoint, because I know a lot of dudes in the NBA give back to their communities. They show love to the black community. They show love to all communities, number one. But the second thing is when you attack LeBron James about humanitarian work, you lose. You have no argument. There's a track record there that does not allow you to question what this man does for communities. It's a track record there for a lot of these dudes where you know, because this always another thing, right? Me and you hear this all the time when something go down in this country. Well, what about Chicago? Man, you don't care about Chicago. You using that to create your narrative. You don't care about that. They got people every day working tirelessly in the South Side of Chicago, trying to get that situation corrected that nobody ever knows. Nobody ever says their name. There's a lot of athletes on the South Side of Chicago. I know the White Sox got a baseball player and do a lot of work in that community. See, Perk, this is what I hate about where we are in society now. It's become more about making you look bad than getting the actual work done.
Come on.
That's the part that I struggle with when it gets to this point. Now, Enes Kanter is standing, he's standing on the right side of what you're supposed to do when you see human tragedy and things going on of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you dilute that by going after LeBron James because he's not speaking on something you want him to speak on? And I got to be honest with you, Perk. I got to call our own people out. We do it more to each other than anybody.
Yes.
You and I know, being in this position at this job all the time, why y'all ain't say nothing about this? Why y'all don't get on the black players? Why when a white player do something bad, y'all got to go 10 on them? Bro, listen, we ain't here. We are not here to degrade or knock nobody down. We are here to tell the absolute truth and give an opinion about the things that we watch and transpire. All right, I went long enough on that. I just had to get that out. I'm going to tell everybody out there, when you're fighting for a good cause, when you're doing humanitarian work, when you got something going and you're trying to help people, don't dilute it by trying to call somebody else out because they ain't doing what you want them to do, or they don't have the same type of energy towards something you have the same type of energy about, period. The same things that's important to you, the things that's most important to you, the reality is it might not be as important to the next black man, period. This clout-chasing, political gain society that we're in, it really bothers me. I ain't going to get off on a tangent. I'm going to just tell you, bro, that bothers me tremendously because we like we got this latch on society. Oh, he feel like I feel, so let's go latch on and let's hate everybody else that don't feel like us. I hate that, bro. I tell people all the time, you got left, right, conservative, liberal. Bro, this whole thing. Hey, man, what's right? What's wrong?
Right.
That's the simple question. What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing? That's how I determine my decision-making process. The second thing is this, man. When we having conversations like this between you and I, the thing that I love more than anything is we're going to have people listen to our podcast that's going to vehemently disagree with what we're saying. And you know why I like that, Perk? Because that's real life. That's real life, bro. We got to stop getting in these silos. We got to stop getting with the groups that we only agree with. We got to stop feeling like this is the only place that we could thrive because everybody likes me over here. And I think what people going to respect in turn about what we do on this podcast, and we've said it before, we don't give a damn if you like us. You're going to get the truth in our opinion.
Yeah.
All right? That's going to turn some people off. That's going to make some people mad.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With that being said, man, let's move on to some good stuff, man. Some good stuff. Perk, I watched this damn movie, man. King Richard, bro, with Will Smith. Listen, I'm going to give you the floor.
Dive right into it. You know what? Look, we dysfunctional, okay? We are dysfunctional. Swag doing Perk is dysfunctional. I don't need you to tee nothing up. I want you to dive right into it. Already, because you know why? When I saw you just talking on the last segment, and I saw the phone drop the truck. Hey. Go ahead, dog. Dive right into it.
So my 8-year-old, bro, Miko, my youngest daughter, she came in. I was in my office, man. I'm usually on the computer working or playing Fortnite or something. She's like, Dad, well, let's watch a movie, right? And I got two daughters. I got a 14-year-old daughter. I got an 8-year-old daughter. And I got a son in the middle of June that's 12.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went, I didn't know what we was watching. My 8-year-old picked it. So I thought we was going to watch, you know, something on Disney Plus or something like that. Because that's usually what it is. But I walk in and it's King Richard on, right? And I had been, obviously, I was going to watch the movie, but I was going to watch it with me and my wife because that's what my plan was. Because I was thinking, this is from a parent's perspective. So let's watch it first and then, you know, turn the kids on to it. But I'm watching this movie, Perk, and I find myself, for the majority of the movie, I'm ear to ear, bro. I'm ear to ear. I'm smiling ear to ear. And I'm thinking about the belief that you have to have in your kids before anybody else in this world get them. Before you send them off to a coach, before you send them off to a school, before you send them off to a group or organization, they are going to emulate, and their belief system will be built off of how their parents teach them. So the whole movie, I'm thinking about myself.
Say that again. Hold on. You got to repeat that.
I got you. I got you. Your kids, your kids' belief system in themselves is created foundationally from the parents that's in the house. Mama and daddy, how much do you believe in me? So when I go out here to the real world, nobody could tell me different. And that's what Venus and Serena had, bro. And I'm looking at this man. And listen, I'm looking, I'm like, man, this dude crazy. At certain points in the movie, I'm like, this dude crazy. But the one thing I never wavered on, Perk, was that he believed in his girls. And he built them up. And he told everybody, this is what they are going to be. This is what these two are going to be. People didn't believe him. People denied it. They turned it down. They did all of that. And the bottom line was this. What he said was going to happen. Here's the beauty in that movie. A lot of it had to do with the work that he instilled, the practice, the hours, taking them to the parks, you know, tennis balls, and believing in them, trying to go find them coaches.
The sacrifice.
The one most important thing that man did was he put in his girls' minds that they would be the best tennis players to ever live. And they believed that from the time they were little until we seeing them now, Venus and Serena. They changed the culture. Bro, I got to be honest with you. I knew about Arthur Ashe. My mom is a big tennis fan. I knew about Arthur Ashe. I knew about Martina. I knew about Roddick. I knew about Djokovic. I knew all of these, Nadal. I've watched enough tennis now to know because my mama in it. Venus and Serena, when it's all said and done, when we making documentaries and they getting their lifetime achievement awards and when everybody realized what they did, bro, the father and mother of Venus and Serena Williams told them girls, you can be this. And they believed in them. They invested in them. They put time in it. And they became that. Now, it takes me into the second level, but I'm going to give you Venus and Serena. Was LaVar Ball really that crazy?
No. 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 And you know what? Let me say this. I've apologized to LaVar Ball because I was one of them people. You know, sometimes we start to follow the crowd and forget.
Me too.
Yeah, so I start following the crowd and start saying, man, this dude tripping, but he wasn't tripping. He had a vision as well. Now, he's a little bit outgoing and outspoken and a little bit flamboyant about it. Okay.
Hey, Perk, that don't mean we agree with everything he did. I still don't agree with everything he did, but go ahead.
Right, but we agree with one thing is his belief in his boys and how it's becoming true at this very particular time, okay? But I want to say this. I haven't saw the movie yet, okay? But I'm gonna get around to it and watch the movie. Yeah, and I want to be perfectly honest with you. First of all, shout out to Mama Swaggoo for putting your mind off of basketball and football and making you engage into something else for once, okay? Something else. Shout out to Mama Swaggoo real quick. Yeah, for putting you into something else in a different space. I appreciate her for that, real talk.
No doubt, no doubt.
But I will say this. I haven't watched movies in a long time, bro. I ain't gonna lie, because if I ain't watching basketball, I'm watching football. If I ain't watching NFL football, I'm watching college. I'm watching NCAA basketball. In the habit, I'm watching boxing. I'm going to get to it. But all your points came down to one particular thing that I just want to touch on. So before you told me about, I never heard about the movie. I just saw bits and pieces on social on Twitter, which you and I love to be on. I don't like to be on no other social media app, but I love to get on Twitter because I
love Twitter.
I love Twitter because, you know, Twitter, you go get it all. Like you,
it's a wild, it's a wild world out there. I thrive in that world.
And so here it is, right? I'm looking at the comments. This is before you even told me about this. And look, we don't rehearse Swaggoo and Perk, okay? So we don't know what either one, what each other is about to say when we come on here. We just listening, okay? It's called listening skills. You got to have that, all right? So I'm on Twitter, and I see people, and I saw one tweet was about, oh, the whole movie was basically about Serena and Venus' dad. And I'm like, I don't give a damn. What if I don't give a damn if it was 80% about him? Was the movie good? Was the movie? So what I'm getting at is why you got to have a complaint when all of a sudden a movie is praising a black father or shining a light on a black father for what he's doing with his kids. But it's okay. Oh, it's okay for you to go watch, you know, a documentary, or it's okay for you to go watch a movie like Get Rich or Die Trying, where 50 Cent didn't really know who his father was, never had a father. It's okay for you to see that type of thing, but it's not okay for you to actually go turn on the TV and see realness.
The name of the movie was King Richard, bro.
You see what I'm saying?
So
when I look at it, and I'm not just even talking about this, not even talking about African American fathers, Swaggoo. This talking about fathers in general,
because fathers that believe in their children.
They believe in their children. That's actually being fathers. That's actually in the moment, not missing none of those childhood memories, actually showing that fatherly love and giving that fatherly love on a day-to-day basis. Why we can't applaud them? It don't have to, and I'm talking to all fathers of all races. It's Bert, okay. Bert,
Let me say this, because to your point, man, I think it's important for us, man, because we all about black fathers and black empowerment. We all about that on this podcast. I got some white brothers that are phenomenal fathers, that I watch, that I emulate, that do things with their children that I'm trying to aspire to be like. I used to talk to a couple fathers that were Caucasian about how they mix time with their kids in this business. That's not just being a good father is being a good father. It ain't got the damn thing to do with your skin color. But go ahead, man. I just had to get that.
No. I just wanted to touch on that point, that just to tell certain people out there that got dirty souls, it's okay. It's okay, because going into the movie, you should have had, like, I haven't even watched the movie, but I know if they're telling their story, guess what? Not only is the father going to be involved, but the mother's going to be involved. And so something has, before you even told me what happened, you gave me your summary of and your points of the movie. But I knew going into that, before I even heard you speak about it, that I knew it was going to be some type of praise or some type of recognition on what their parents meant to them, especially their father. Right? Because this is not the first time we heard about, you know, him being in their life and what he done for them for us in the tennis world and being the father. So I think you have touched on every part. I just want to touch on that particular, you know, that particular
point. Well, it's important. It's important. I'm glad you said it, man, because going back to what I was talking about earlier, the other thing is it was three more daughters.
Oh.
And they all they all were very smart, all were very bright. There's also scenes in the movie, if you ain't saw the movie, I'm sorry, I don't give a damn. The mama took Serena out to the tennis court and taught her things that she still used when she became a professional. So yeah, the movie was about their father, because he was the centerpiece, and he was the out-of-the-box thinking person that got his daughters into all of these tennis clubs and got them the practices, didn't have the financial part that he needed, but he went and talked and grinded and did all of that. This movie was about a beautiful black family with five girls, two that happened to become two of the greatest tennis players ever. One is the greatest of all time in Serena, and it's because their father and their mother, father specifically, because that's who the movie was about, told them when they was young, this is who you can be. If you want to be this, we're going to support you, and we're going to build a belief system in you to tell you that you can be this, and it materialized. Which brings me to LaVar Ball. I don't like all of the antics. I didn't love all of the things that LaVar did, but the one thing he did is he told us that his sons could hoop. He instilled that belief in them, and now he got two in the NBA that yep. are phenomenal basketball players, son.
Absolutely, and you can't do nothing but applaud them. You cannot do yes. you can't do nothing because he
and has, their mother.
Yes, both of them, because yes. they believed in those boys. That's why they got the swag. That's why they got the drip. That's why they got the confidence, because he believed, they believed into those Ball brothers. So, you know, at the end of the day, man, look, if you can't relate, then you got to get your soul cleansed, period. Like, it has nothing to do with us. You just got to get those evil spirits about you, because this yeah. right here is an appreciation moment. And look, hold on. Yes. I got to tell you something. You were right. You were right. Since we sticking on the NBA, you were right. You were right. LeBron James suspended one game, reported by our boy Woj while we're in the middle of the podcast. Woj is the first guy that I've ever seen be on national TV on SportsCenter and answer his phone and report news. He did that. He made history. So he could definitely report something and break up Swaggoo and Perk. Isaiah Stewart got two games. LeBron got one. I think that's foul.
That's foul to me.
Let's move on.
Woj will break news in the middle of a birth. Woj, if news got to be broke, he'll break it, man. Listen. Going back to what we were saying, I think that's foul to your point. In the middle of a birth. Woj's child about to be born. He gonna break some news.
Straight up. But it's fair, because both of those games, those two games that Isaiah's getting suspended, that's probably gonna cost him a grip. You know, LeBron making a grip, so that one game gonna cost him over $200,000-$300,000. So you know, it's fair, man. Look, we move on. I know we got some other topics. I just want to get your thoughts on two teams in the NBA before we move on.
Okay.
One is the Phoenix Suns, okay? And the reason I want to get that is because this team has won 12 in a row, I believe it is. And with all we're talking about is the Golden State Warriors, and rightfully so, because they're balling too. But this team that went to the finals last year has won 12 in a row, that brought everybody back, is on a 12-game winning streak, and looking at their schedule, it could be longer, okay?
Yeah.
Next, I want you to dive into – I was going to ask you about Giannis, but we already appreciate Giannis. We know what he is. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Knicks, okay? Because the Knicks right now, in my opinion, you want me to tell you what they're like? They're like a broken refrigerator. They can't keep a damn thing cold. It's like a broken refrigerator. You can't keep a damn thing cold. And I had to say refrigerator because where I'm from, we called it the ice box.
The ice box.
So I don't want people to be thinking what the hell is the ice box. So I said the refrigerator. But look, I wanted your quick top, like your thoughts on those two teams before we move on to the next. You know, I had to get my tea up in one time.
I know. I love when you're the host, bro. I'm gonna be real quick. On the Suns, you can't never discount the fact that CP3 is the point guard. That's number one. Devin Booker is a budding star, bro. Like, they have the makeup of a team. You know what I love about the Phoenix Suns? You know what I love about teams in general and why I like Golden State too and how they do things? Everybody know they roll. To your point, you said this in our wisdom moment.
Everybody know they roll.
They roll. And you said that, you said an important thing when I asked you about your wisdom. Just because you ain't driving the boat, don't sink it. All right? That is why it's so important in basketball to have when it's going haywire, right? I know Money over there on the bench. I know he over there on the bench. He the calm, cool coach. He could settle the waters and all of that, but it ain't nothing like having that dude on the floor with you.
That floor
it ain't
jump.
Nothing like it. It ain't nothing like it. So CP3, Devin Booker. Devin Booker is the superstar for the Phoenix Suns. CP3 mm-hmm. is the veteran you need to glue everything together. Mikal Bridges, role, right? I'm going to give you a perfect example of Mikal Bridges. I was thinking about it when I watched him the other day. Bruce Bowen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruce Bowen. His role. He stars in his role. Now, I'm going to go to the Knicks because this is what I love. First of all, I want the Garden back. The Garden has looked good, Perk. I love it. I love the fact that Madison Square Garden looks like it looks.
Hey, bro. The Garden has been rocking, though.
It's been rocking. World Wide West over there, Thibodeau over there. Hey, I like it. I like it, what they're doing. What I just said about Phoenix is what they don't have.
Mm.
They don't have – I love Julius. Julius out of his – he's good. You've seen his game materialize, get better. You see the work start to progress and get better. I know Derrick Rose is that dude. I know the type of respect that Derrick Rose has in this league. But they got to go find a get me a bucket every damn trip down the floor. They got to find it. And I was with Stephen A. on this. I was on First Take. Stephen A. was going crazy.
Of course.
Yeah. Man, I wish KD would have went to that Garden, bro. I wish KD would have went to that Garden so bad. Now, like, look, hindsight 2020, all right? I wish KD would have went to that Garden because you got the marquee perk. The problem is they don't have the marquee right now, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I love Derrick Rose. I love Julius Randle. I love the way these dudes play basketball. But when you think New York and you want to put that name up on that marquee, bro, it got to be one of them, dog. It got to be one of them top dog. It got to be like when Sinatra name showed up in Vegas. It got to be like when MJ walked into the arena in Chicago. Yes. You got for the Garden always needs one of the top three NBA players in the league on their team.
Mm.
All right? That's where I'm at with those two situations.
You're absolutely right, man. And I just want to – look – I think KD knows that as well.
Oh, man, you know, bro.
You just watched the Brooklyn, and I'm not even about to dive into it, but just watch a Brooklyn Nets game at home and watch a Knicks game at home.
It's completely different.
The energy, like, you want to be in an arena that give you chill bumps. I was fortunate
Boston.
To play in Boston, and then I was fortunate to go to Oklahoma City, Loud City. You want those type of atmospheres, man. You want to be embedded into that. But I don't even want to stay on this long because I know we got one thing to get into before we go. And God damn it, we got to get into it. Yes, sir. Thanksgiving.
Lord have mercy. I got to tell everybody right now, my sister in town, she's sitting right here next to me listening to the podcast. Perk. What you gonna eat, man? What you gonna eat? Just tell me what you gonna eat, man. Just tell, give me from the time you wake up Thanksgiving morning.
I'm not
gonna even say when it's over because the leftovers last like 2-3 days.
For sure.
What are you? First of all, I want the whole Thanksgiving perk picture. Just I'm gonna shut up. Tell me what's happening on Thanksgiving or the night before, because perk we cooked the night before. You tell me what's popping.
Something in the oven the night before. And none of it has to do with me. I don't cook a damn thing. None of it has to do with me. And that's the great thing about Thanksgiving is that I don't have to do a damn thing, literally.
Yes.
I don't have to work. I don't have to cook. I don't have to turn on a pit. I don't have to go buy gifts. I don't have to do nothing. All I have to do is eat and watch football. So that's the first thing, right? The second thing, what I'm going to eat. Hey, look, I didn't I'm gonna eat everything, okay? And when I say everything, I mean, listen, I'm talking about
everything.
And I'm not a ham guy. I'm not a ham guy. So I want the fried turkey and I want the fried turkey. I want the crisp edges. I want the crisp edges and I need the baked turkey. That's the
Turk, open your eyes. Open your eyes, man.
That's, That's the meat I need on there. And the reason, let me tell you why I need the baked turkey, not the smoked turkey, the baked turkey. Because the baked turkey always end up in this bag in the oven. And the bag is filled with gravy and juices at the bottom. Yes. Oh. And so when I think about that, I'm thinking about how much flavor is bringing to my cornbread dressing, my rice dressing, my mac and cheese, my yams, my green beans. That's what my plate consists of. And I'm going to eat, listen, I'm going to eat five of those plates. I'm going to eat my I'm going to eat five because, you know, when people come over, it's no, look, in my house, when people come over, it's no more getting dishes out, okay? We got plastic plates, and they got the new type that's a little bigger and way much stronger, okay? So you don't have to even worry about it. They like this long.
That Chinette.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's going to consist on my plate five times throughout the day. And Ooh. Then when I go to dessert, the only thing, my go-to move, I don't need cakes. All I need is a sweet potato pie.
It's
a couple sweet potato pies, okay? Because I'm gonna have the ones that my wife and my mother-in-law are gonna bake that's gonna be there, and then I'm also gonna have a Patti LaBelle pie. And it's just two different flavors. It's just two different flavors. And man, I'ma go to work. And what I'm going to drink, I'm not drinking no water.
Cognac.
It's cognac.
Tequila.
Yes, tequila. Yes. Lobos. But it's Dr. Pepper's and it's Cokes all day. It's Perfect. Dr. Pepper's and it's Cokes
Praise
all day.
Praise the Lord. Can I go with that? Can it be my turn? Let it be my turn. Listen, man. First of all, a lot of this stuff you said, I'm right there with you, bro. Let me tell you something right now. Lord is my witness. Perk. Now, I'm not like you. I actually have to participate in the preparing of the meals, but it's because I like to. You know me, I'm a griller.
You are?
I'm a fire that damn Traeger up, Perk, and I'm gonna smoke me two whole chickens. I'm gonna smoke me six Cornish hen, the little bitty whole chickens. I'm going to fry me two whole chickens as well. Because, if you run out of food, Thanksgiving over. And we ain't doing that around here. All right? The second thing is this, man. My wife is going to make some macaroni and cheese, Perk. That is going to be baked.
She baking it?
Perk, it's so thick. You could throw it through a brick wall.
You got to cut it with a knife?
You got to cut it with a knife. And then when you, hey, Perk, look at my hands. Look at my hand. When you cut through the top, it go. Because that cheese then got crispy. And then, Perk, we freak them out, Perk. We freak them out. I put them in the pit and I smoke it for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Look at your face.
No, you didn't.
I smoked that thing for the last 20. Perk, it changes everything about it. It changes everything about it. We ain't right. To your point, sweet potato pie. My Gigi, who passed away, made the best sweet potato pie. We try to emulate it. We're going to try to emulate it this year. I taught my daughter how to make a 7-Up pound cake. We're going to have a 7-Up pound cake. Perk, I'm talking to you, Perk. Just let me get it in. My wife's grandmother makes the best cornbread dressing. It takes 3 years to make. But when it's done, bro, it is amazing. You hear me? My mama is going to be in that kitchen with seasoning shakers in her hands, getting everything ready, getting it prepared. We're going to be playing gospel, and we're going to be playing Christmas music. We're going to be doing all of that, Perk. And last but not least, when I get done cooking and all of them foods are ready, them delectables is what I call them, I'm going to get me a big-ass plate, Perk, and I'm going to put my sweet potatoes in the little circle, I'm gonna put my cornbread dressing in a little circle. I'm gonna put my macaroni and cheese in a circle. I'm gonna cut me about half of that whole chicken, and I'm gonna lay it across that other half of that plate that ain't done. I'm gonna let that gravy seep on everything. It's gonna seep. I want the gravy to seep on everything in there. I don't do cranberry. I don't do cranberry, so I'm not gonna have none of that.
We'll do that.
Speaking of your Pepsis and Cokes, I need me a Sprite, Perk, but I need it a particular way. This is how I need my Sprite, Perk. I need my Sprite out of a cooler. It can't come out of a refrigerator. It's got to come out of an ice cooler. Perk, when I open that thing and drink it, I want to feel like 17 punches got thrown to my dome. And then I let it settle in my system, and I let it sit in my soul and my spirit. That's Thanksgiving for me. I'm going to watch football. I'm going to watch these Cowboys bounce back. I'm going to watch some football. We going to laugh. I'm going to probably curse a lot. And last but not least, when I get to my third plate, Perk, I'm going to grab me a glass, and I'm going to pour me a large glass of that yak, big dog. And I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to thank the Lord for all he's done. Because my family is going to be here, and I'm surrounded by the people that I love, and we done ate good. And Perk, you know what's so great about Thanksgiving now?
What's that?
We ain't broke no more. We can get all of it. We can get all the stuff we want to get. We don't got to go to no turkey drives. We ain't got to do nothing. I ain't throwing shade the people that still got to do it, because we're going to be there for them, and we're going to supply it. But Perk, that's Thanksgiving in my house, dog. A bunch of eating, a bunch of napping, a bunch of football, a bunch of drinking, and sleep.
Yes, yes. That napping, dog, because that first plate app, and then when you go get your seconds, you know what I'm saying? That nap hit different. When you fall asleep in the first quarter and then you wake up the beginning of the fourth, and then you got you a football game. We all have been there, dog. And I'm just sitting up here diving in good. Listen, dog, the Swaggle house is going to be popping. The household is popping down there.
Before we start on Thanksgiving, I tell everybody, I need the whole congregation of love that's in this house from the Spears family. Everybody go to an air-conditioned unit and put that thing on 69 and make it cold as you can, and get all of the cover that we got out and put it on the sofa, and let's eat and drink and watch football and be merry. I love it. That's Thanksgiving. First, hey, listen, man. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. You have a happy Thanksgiving, man. I hope you and the family have it all. Perk, when we show back up on this podcast next week, we're going to be 30 pounds heavier, but don't nobody give a damn. It's been a magnificent podcast. This is the way to end it. Perk, I want you to give me one thing for the people when we get out of here. You got any nuggets of wisdom for them? Or you got anything you want to say before we close this thing out?
Oh, man. I'm just thinking, though. I'm thinking right now, man. Everything started watering. My mouth, my eyes. Oh, you got to talk about the thing, man. The macaroni and cheese, they don't understand. Then you baked it, though. I know we got to go, but she baked it, and then you went outside and did some more to it.
I did some more to it, Perk. I know it's emotional. I get emotional every time we do it.
Man, I love you. I want everybody in the Swaggoo household and everybody that's listening to have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is I don't have no bars to give you, but Thanksgiving is my favorite day, my favorite holiday. You know why? Because it doesn't have no agenda behind it. So you don't have to go buy gifts. This is really one of the only holidays you don't have to go buy gifts. It's all about family. It's all about eating. And it's all about football. And it's all about giving thanks. So then look, I just want everybody to have a happy Thanksgiving, because I'm going to be happy. You better believe I'm going to be happy.
Be happy. Blessings, blessings, blessings from the Swaggoo and Perk podcast. Listen. If you out there and you struggling on this holiday season, or if you need some help, please find something local to help you out. Mm-hmm. Reach out to me and Big Perk. We got mad love for you. Perk, It's been a real one, man. You know, Thanksgiving edition of Swagoo and Perk. Much love, my little big bro.
Yes, sir. Right back at you.